Would this describe you today?
I believe there's so many in where we work, where we go to school, that in your neighborhood, that are just so dried up, so hurting inside, and so confused about our world and how it's going and where we're going and what's going on, that they need to find the truth, and they want to find the truth. People need hope. They need purpose, and that's what God gives to us. They're dead in their trespasses and sins, and they need life.
Your Spirit leads me on, and I'm running after you. I'll leave behind the worthless lies, and I'm trading them for priceless truth.
It's time once again for Sound Doctrine. Pastor Jeff Johnson is knee-deep in his new series in the Song of Solomon. We'll begin chapter 6 in a moment. Satan has been described as the father of lies, and he's very active in our world today, spreading those lies. Maybe you've noticed. And in the midst of it all, people are hungry for the truth. But where do you go to find it? Well, as we'll see today, if you seek, you shall find. Here's Pastor Jeff with today's broadcast.
The Song of Solomon. We're in chapter 6, starting a new chapter. So go to the Song of Solomon, chapter 6, and we're going to see something really interesting as this whole relationship thing continues to grow. Because we've been looking at the Song of Solomon as an allegory, a picture of Christ and the church, the shepherd king with the beautiful Shulamite girl that sticks out. It really turns the Song of Solomon into a romantic play, a drama, a love story that really continues today with our lives with the Lord. So it's an incredible insight. You can take Song of Solomon in a number of different ways. This is the way we've chosen to take it in our journey through the book this time. The church, the bride of Christ, prepares for her bridegroom. I mean, there's a relationship that is building. That special day is coming. Christ will return for his bride. He's the bridegroom. In Matthew 24, it's an interesting chapter. It deals with really those who go in and those who are not going to go in, which is very interesting because he calls them all virgins. Yet, he says to those that have their wicks trimmed, their lives in line of what the Scripture is talking about, and that we're staying in our relationship, and it's being productive, and we're bearing fruit, and we're seeking the Lord, and not only kind of taking the wicks and trimming them, but also there's oil found in our lamps. And so there was 5 wise virgins and 5 unwise, which is interesting because 5 trimmed their wicks, had their lamps filled, and they were waiting until he comes. Now, till that time, there's a distance that is there. I mean, we're here in a physical world. He's there in the spiritual realm. And yet, you know, he's seeking to always get us more comfortable and more open to the spiritual realm. That's why we're here this morning, to get into the spiritual book, which hooks us up to heaven and the things of heaven. So over in 2 Corinthians, an interesting, just jot this down, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 6, he says, "Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in this body, we are absent from the Lord." So we see that there's that distance. "For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. That's where we're headed. That's where we're groaning about, you know, in these earthen bodies. So he's Emmanuel, and we get that. He is God with us. He lives inside of us, and that's awesome. And we do walk by faith, not by sight. So we're believers. And there's four things, really, I'd like to look at that I think is very important for us to realize that we need to be doing as Christians until he comes. Number one, for those of you guys taking notes, to be ready, to be ready. In, again, Matthew 25, it says, those that were ready went in when the Lord came back. That's in Matthew 25, verse 10. They were ready, they went in to the marriage supper. I mean, there was a connection, and everyone was blessed. Number two is communication, seeking him first, going after the things of the Lord. My life scripture is Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So it's very simple. It's just seeking the things of God. So communication, casting your cares upon him. So there's a two-way road, isn't there? You know, he speaks to us, we give it over to him. And there's deliverance, there's comfort, there's peace, there knowing our Father, knowing he's a good God, he's a big God, and he's handling all our incidental things. So that's number two, communication. Then our love for him. Remember over in Luke in chapter 24, in verse 32, these two men that were on the Emmaus Road, they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? Their hearts began to burn. They were lifted. These were depressed individuals. These were cast down guys. And yet the Lord picked them up as he began to minister to them through his word. And so they were falling in love with him. And I love that, you know, the psalm we read this morning in Psalm 116, where it says in the first verse, I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplication. Can you say that? I love the Lord. Say it. Oh, that's good. I love the Lord because of so many things. And finally, number four, our desire to be with him. Scripture says, now we see through a glass darkly, but then what? Face to face. Over in Titus chapter 2, verse 13, listen. Looking for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great God, notice, and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus is God. But really, what is he saying? Looking for the blessed hope. We're longing for this to take place. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. He says, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown, Paul says, of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, is going to give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all of them that love his appearing. Do you love his appearing, or are you running from it? Are you just saying, I can't wait, I can't wait, I can't wait, like a little kid can't wait to get on that one big ride, because that one is the best, and this is going to be the best when finally the Lord returns for his church and we go home. So to be ready, to get that communication rolling, our love for him, and our desire to be with him. So, until then, remember our maintenance program. Do you remember what it is? Our maintenance program as Christians. Acts 2, what? 2:42. Got it? That's, they continuously, steadfastly, we're in the apostles' doctrine. We're in prayers. We're in fellowship and communion. That's maintenance, guys. Maintenance. Keeping it going, keeping strong, to remember, to be on guard, to be diligent, to not get distracted. Oh, there's so many distractions. Or lured away, or deceived. God wants us to be steadfast, standing in his power and in his might. That's in Ephesians 6:10. So, going back now to our text, and I want to even go back one chapter for a moment, and that is in Song of Solomon chapter 5. She got distracted. She was drifting from his presence. We talked about this when we were looking at chapter 5. Due to what? Worldliness. She wanted her comfort. She wanted what she wanted. And selfishness. She was no way going to get up and answer the door, you know. And those of you that were with us, you remember that. And what happened? Panic kicked in. Confusion set in. She became like she's in the impact zone. The impact zone to a surfer is when you get pulled into the drift, into the rip, and you're under where the wave impacts. And you don't want to be there because it'll continue to impact you one after another. It'll rip you up. So in chapter 5 of Song of Solomon, in verse 6, right there at the very start, she says, I opened to my beloved. I finally got to the door. I opened up, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. That sinking feeling. She sought help to find her beloved. She went looking. Blessed is he who has many counselors. And so she could not find him, but she asked for others to try to find him with her. And I think having godly counselors is very wise. It says in Psalm in chapter 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. So you got to be careful where you get your counsel. You don't get your counsel from this world. Blessed is the man that has many counselors in the Word and is able to go to someone that knows what God says about a certain situation and gets ministered to. So godly counsel only. Over in Psalm 119 in verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Where do I get my counsel? What is my counsel? It's God's word. It lightens the path that you're on. It gives you vision to see what's going on around you. It is very important. Now notice in chapter 6, going back to Song of Solomon, in chapter 6, verse 1, whether is thy beloved gone? And so this question comes up. Where is he gone? Oh, thou fairest among women, talking to the Shulamite. I believe this is the daughters of Jerusalem. They're in Jerusalem, and they're questioning her, you know. Oh, fairest among women, you know, whether is he thy beloved turned aside? Where is he gone? He's turned aside, that we may seek him with you, which is interesting. They're saying, you know, you're seeking for him. We want you to know that we're also seeking for him, and we would like to be with him, to seek him. I thought, wow, that's incredible. The world is a very cold, cruel, hostile, evil place. And they're saying, where is your beloved? Look around you. He's not here. This place is crazy. And you know what? Wise men still seek him. Those that really want the truth, they'll go after the things of God. In fact, those wise men came and asked this question, where is the king of the Jews? They didn't know him. They didn't know, but they were seeking him, and they wanted to find out where he is. Over in Psalm, in verse 40, I love this verse. It's many of our testimonies. Psalm 40 and verse 2. He says, and he hath put a new song. So he established me, took me out of the pit, put me on a rock, put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many are going to see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. Why? Because you have a personal testimony. Why? Because God has touched you, and now you're sharing about that with those that are inquisitive, to those that you want to share it with, your witness to others. Blessed is the man that makes the Lord his trust. Many shall see it, it says in Psalm 40, and fear and shall trust in the Lord. See what? Your testimony. So I was thinking about this. It just fits. Many are asking today, well, we'd like to see the Lord. Oh, okay. Well, I'll just ask him to come with you to church. Come and see Jesus. Come and see a man that told me all things. Come and find the truth. Come with us. We'll buy breakfast. We'll buy, your dinner afterwards, but just come. And we seek to have them come and hear about this God, this Savior. Chapter 6 is continuing on with this dream that she's having about her beloved, really as many are seeking. I believe there's so many in where we work, where we go to school, that in your neighborhood, that are just so dried up, so hurting inside, and so confused about our world and how it's going and where we're going and what's going on, that they need to find the truth, and they want to find the truth. I know when I was seeking the Lord, I would try it different ways. I mean, I was seeking the Lord through drugs and just all kinds of different ways. But I still was seeking, and I knew that this is not the truth. That's not the truth. And I would go from one thing to another until finally I gave up. And that's when somebody knocked on my door and said, you want to go to church with us? What? Well, we're just gathering right down here. Well, I was loaded that night. Yeah, okay, whatever. So I went. Me and my wife and our little baby, and I got saved. The Lord changed my life. So seek ye first, and all these things. People need hope. They need purpose, and that's what God gives to us. They're dead in their trespasses and sins, and they need life. We want to seek him with you. This is what they're saying in verse 1 of chapter 6. And then notice in verse 2, my beloved is gone down to his garden, to the beds of spices, to feed the gardens and to gather lilies. I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. He feeds among the lilies. So she really is showing her insight here, her discernment. I know where he is. He's gone to his favorite place. He's gone to be with the Father. Why? Well, because he wants to send the Holy Spirit, right? I must go, because unless I go, I cannot send my Holy Spirit, my very presence to be with you and live in you. I like that. So in John chapter 16, Jesus says it this way in verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you a truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. If I go not away, the Comforter will not come to you. If I depart, I will send him to you. And then in verse 13, he says, howbeit the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He's going to show you how prophetic we're living in the last days. He's going to show you things that are going to blow your mind, that the Bible said thousands of years ago, and yet we see it taking place today in our world all around us. And it's just building. So he's gone to his favorite place. Over in chapter 4 of the Song of Solomon in verse 16, 4:16, he says, awake, O north wind, and come, thou south, blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Yet my beloved come into his garden, he came into his garden and eat pleasant things. So what's that all about? It's about, you have not chosen me, but I've chosen you. And I've chosen you to bear much fruit, and that your fruit should be what? Lasting. John 15:16. She knew he was feeding his flock, leading us beside still waters into green pastures. And that's what he's doing. What a relationship. In verse 3, I like that the best of these few verses here. I am my beloved's and he is mine. That's on my ring. That's in Hebrew. It's a beautiful thing. I am his and he is mine. We have this relationship that it just continues to grow. Over in Hebrews in chapter 12, verse 2, it says, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. So our eyes are on him. He is my beloved. I know what he did for me. And I am his. I know I am a child of God. And then there's that awesome scripture in Jeremiah in chapter 29, verse 13. And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all of your heart. That means turn your heart upon him and say, I want to know you. I'm interested in this truth. Lord, I want to know, what did you do for me? You died for me? That if I would receive you, that I would become your child, and that you would reveal your truths to me, that I would begin to understand the Word of God? Amazing.
Amazing indeed. We'll pause right here, but Pastor Jeff Johnson will be back. And this is Sound Doctrine. Our message today is titled, Seek and You Shall Find. It's part of a study in the Song of Solomon. You can use our toll-free number to order resources from us, like today's message on CD. That number is 800-353-7553. Again, we're here to serve you at 800-353-7553. And you can also access this message online at sounddoctrineradio.org. Hey, would you like to be used by God in this new year? Allow me to recommend a book that can help you in that endeavor. It's called The Man God Uses by Chuck Smith. In this inspiring book, Chuck Smith uncovers the personal characteristics of the people God used throughout Scripture. He reveals five essential components of prayer, the danger of a lukewarm gospel, and the secret to the apostles' boldness. We'll send you a copy of this Man God Uses for just $8. Go to sounddoctrineradio.org or call us 800-353-7553. We know these are difficult financial times for many of you, and they are for churches and radio ministries too. If the Lord has blessed you with a little extra this month, we'd very much appreciate your support right now. No gift is too great, no gift is too small, one time or monthly. It would not only be greatly appreciated, but it would be put to very good use, helping people all across the world have access to Sound Doctrine. Go online, sounddoctrineradio.org, and click donate. Or call us, 800-353-7553. All right, let's turn back to Song of Solomon now, chapter 6.
Look at verse 4 now in our text. In verse 4 he says, now everything changes here because it says the king renews his appeal. In my Bible, there's a little subtitle. This is interesting. This king here is Solomon. Solomon comes back into the picture. He now comes and really gives to the Shulamite girl her greatest temptation. And this is going to continue from chapter 6 into chapter 7. We'll see it as we go along here. But Solomon comes on the scene. He's moved with jealousy towards the one woman he couldn't get. And remember, we've already talked about this, that the Song of Solomon was talking about how Solomon was trying to get her. He couldn't get her, trying to, you know, force things and all. And he's now moved with this jealousy towards the one woman he couldn't get, using flattery. He's not a type of Christ like some people present Solomon as. I mean, come, give me a break. He's not anything like Christ. He's rich in the world's wealth. He's got a brain that doesn't think well because he married 700 wives and 300 concubines. I mean, who does that? I mean, it's not a type of Christ. You know, he would just be on one woman. He's a one-woman man. Not Solomon. He wants it all. And he had it all, didn't he? No, he's not a type of Christ. He's a seducer and not a savior, as we'll see. A type of the prince of this world. Why? Because he's rich, influential in the world of worldly things. And the wisdom that he asked God to give him to run the place, God gave him the wisdom, but it's worldly wisdom. And so here he is, very wise man, very rich man. So he seeks to win this Shulamite country girl, to have her leave her first love, to embrace what he embraces, which is the world.
We'll pick up where we left off in the Song of Solomon next time on Sound Doctrine with Pastor Jeff. So Father,